And we had a blizzard, and the electric was out. And, of course, I forgot to charge my phone, so.
All right, we are being recorded. So let's go ahead and start with our opening right now before we do anything else. So the opening today is actually a short piece called Sliver of G. I am a divine emanation, a spark of the one, completely unique, never before, never again, only now, brilliant, shining now. I am a sliver of G, goodness, genius, gumption in action, grace in the moment, the glory of God incarnate. I am a sliver of G.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. So it seemed fitting when we were talking about seeing ourselves as the beloved and doing our self-care from the perspective of being the beloved. So, Doreen, I know you're still working on getting how to get your worksheets to me. And do you have it in front of you?
I completed the worksheet, and I have it in front of me because I made a copy of it. But, I'm just haven't found the right avenue and the right person to help me. So
okay. So no worries at all. You're here, and you've got your worksheet, so that's all we need.
Okay.
And Janet, I just pulled yours up, so I've got yours. Do you have yours in front of you? Janet, if you're speaking, I cannot hear you.
Yeah, I have it.
Excellent. All right. So, Doreen, right before you arrived, Janet was saying this one was really hard for her. Do you want to say anything about how it was for you?
It actually flowed quite easily. I think the biggest challenge is I haven't been on the previous calls, and I was trying to do the worksheet backwards, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I did this first, so when I thought of the term beloved, I never put myself in that space. That was my starting point, was just to reframe that. And once I sort of got my definition of it and had a working definition for me, I think it pretty much flowed because some of the things that I reflect on periodically.
Nice. Really nice. All right. So I think I've shared with you guys before that this material often comes through me rather than me thinking it up. And this is one that honestly surprised me too, Janet. Like, really, self-care and beloved and I'm the beloved. And what does that have to do with self-care? So as I typically do, I created the worksheet and saw what the assignment was, and then on a different day I filled it out, and it did kind of flow in a way that surprised me, and you guys can see what it was because my own answers were the example. And so do either of you feel inclined to jump in with sharing yours, or Janet, do you want to start with the challenge around it being challenging? Where would you guys like to go?
I will start if nobody
Well, go
else
ahead.
Wants. It's whatever.
Yeah, please go ahead and share yours, Doreen.
Okay. The name of the beloved, I use my own name, which is Doreen Mary. I do have higher selves that have different names, but we won't go there for tonight. So my job description for attending this beloved is to remind her that her name means little gift, a present to unfold and evolve with love and in love. She is to treat herself with the same compassion and loving kindness that she extends to others. My acknowledgement, that's the way I interpret it, my acknowledgement and affirmation of this beloved is that I am a spark of the divine. God lives in me and I live in God. We co-create my life. My life is important. I contribute to life what no one else can. I am connected to all that is. Life is wonderful with both sunrises and sunsets. Be grateful and appreciate each one for the gift it offers. And what do you deeply desire for this beloved to remember? To remember she is a miracle made in love to give and receive love.
Oh, my goodness. I can see why you liked the opening piece tonight, Doreen, because I hear parts of it in what you wrote. So beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was really beautiful.
It occurs to me after having done this myself and listening to yours, Doreen, and reading yours, Janet, that it's something to refer back to when we need to, I guess would be the way I would say it. I had a very humbling conversation recently with a friend that I've had for a long time. He was sharing with me that he sometimes experiences me as a priestess. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's who I am. But most of the time he experiences me as a teenager. I'm like, huh? And it really kind of caused me to think about my own self-perception. And I definitely know what he's talking about, that he experiences me as a teenager, but I didn't think it was the majority of the time. So I've just kind of been sitting with that, and it seems like this particular awareness assignment has us looking at what I would consider the priestess part of me, and each of you might consider it a different part, but, you know, the part that really is connected to the divine and behaving like we're connected to the divine. So that's kind of cool.
I think it's cool what I wrote for mine and then what I was reading yours in, that there were parts that it's almost in the collective unconscious or the part that you and I share when I was saying, like, I contribute but no one else can, and you were saying that you're unique, and it just struck a chord that, you know, each one thinks we're unique, but yet we wrote down similar thoughts.
Yes, and we are unique and similar too, so isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I like that part.
So, Janet, would you like to share yours?
Sure.
It's okay. You don't have to do it with enthusiasm. Although that's kind of strange for you, since you're usually very enthusiastic.
I don't know why. I don't know why this really irritated me for some reason.
Yeah.
And I think it was really hard to put myself in that place of being the beloved or something. I don't know. I was having a really hard time with it. I, like, avoided it all day long, basically.
You're here. Oh, my gosh, how great is that? So you came here, you're annoyed, but you're here.
There's a lot to be said for that.
There is a lot to be said for that.
I just used my own name. And it said, then the job description was, keep Janet out of her head and don't let her hide. Get her outside and moving and keep her creating and socializing and having fun. And then the acknowledgement, I don't know if I even, now it doesn't make any sense, I don't think, but I said, Janet's here to be embraced and loved and to embrace and love. Janet's here to see and feel sparkly, starshiny, queen of the universe, enraptured, embraced, and unapologetic. And those are my core desired feelings.
Mm-hmm. And why do you say it doesn't make sense now?
I don't know.
When you read it, did it make sense just now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It did
good.
After I read it.
Okay. Go on.
And then what I deeply desire for the beloved to remember is, Janet, you are enough just because you exist and you are breathing and you are loved.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're with this again and you noticed it didn't make sense, but then it did make sense, is some of that annoyance dissipating, or do you still wish we were doing something else?
I think it's dissipating.
Okay. Yeah.
It seemed, it's weird, but reading it out loud was easier than writing it down.
Hmm. Well, very cool.
Thank you for reminding me to keep breathing and to have fun. Those are things that I forget about sometimes. So, thank you.
To me, those are the two important things.
Probably in a specific order, but...
Well, definitely, if you want the fun to last very long, probably it is a specific order. And maybe the point is, of course, we're breathing, but how deeply we're breathing, how much we're aware that we're breathing, how much we're taking in that we're breathing, that's a different story.
Yeah, I think that's what I mean by breathing, is just sometimes to just be aware and conscious of my own physicality. And it's almost like, for me, I think of breathing and I think of being mindful of just like what's going on around me.
Yeah. You know,
versus just like holding my breath and, you know, white knuckling it through everything.
Yeah.
And then to have fun, to let myself have that spontaneity, because sometimes I just get up in the place where it's like things don't seem right and they seem to matter too much. And so to remember just to sometimes just have fun with all of that and take a break, that's a huge thing for me. So I didn't even remember to put it on the sheet. So, Janet, thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
Janet is the queen of fun, just so you know, Doreen.
Well, then we need to hang together.
All right, we can do that.
We can we can teach me some lessons.
So I want to share something that I became aware of this morning. I had done this a while ago because I made it, I filled out mine as the example for you guys and then shared the form with you. So I don't remember, maybe it was a week or 10 days ago that I wrote it, and I had not looked at it since. And then today when I was getting ready for us to do this evening, I thought, well, I want to print out the worksheet and see what's there. And I was having one of those mornings where I don't even remember what started it, but if somebody had transcribed what was going on in my head, it would have been something like all of the ways I'm not able to do everything right. And I was really being hard on myself. And of course, that meant I was in a really low mood. And the more I actually listened to the internal conversation, the lower the mood was, and, you know, just a downward spiral. And that's somewhat rare for me. And I've also been doing this practice of becoming aware of what is the self-talk, because it's easy to just notice the low mood without noticing what is it that I'm thinking, you know, that then is causing the low mood. So I've been paying more attention, and it's not pretty. It's like, good grief, who in the world would speak to not even a beloved this way, but even somebody that they had any caring for at all? And so when I printed out the sheet and read my own example, just by reading it, all of that just stopped. And it's like, oh, boy, there is no reason to continue with this line of thinking. So it was kind of surprising. It was surprising to me that I was being so harsh on myself when I could actually hear the words. And then it was probably even more surprising that when I read this, just reading what I wrote, it dissipated. It's like, no, there's no room for both of these to exist. And I wouldn't have thought it would have been that easy. So that was really fascinating to be aware of, and I was grateful. You know, all of that conversation went away, and I had a great day, and just because I read this, and I thought, oh, well, maybe I need to be aware that this is actually something to use. So I don't know if either of you have had that experience. Well, of course, Janet, if you avoided it most of the day, you haven't had it very long to use it. but it might be something like knowing our core values, knowing our strengths. Maybe it's something we keep handy as our reminder. So thoughts, ideas, insights, what are you guys thinking?
I like the idea of it's a tool, and it's a way to keep bringing yourself back to you.
Mm-hmm.
What's important.
Yeah.
I think awareness, just the awareness, is so empowering. I went through a time where many times I struggled with depression. And, you know, my therapist would say, well, what triggers your depression? You know, it's like I couldn't even go there. I didn't even get it. I didn't understand it. So what I started to do was, like, every hour on the hour or somewhere around there, I would do an assessment, kind of really informal, but what was I thinking, what was I feeling, and just monitoring those thoughts and seeing where my mind was or where my mood was. And I was kind of coming up with what you're saying, is that I wouldn't treat somebody or I wouldn't think those things about somebody, and so why am I doing that to myself? So just by, I guess, being aware of what I was telling myself or how I was letting myself to feel, helped me to be more compassionate to myself, which in turn seemed to elevate my mood and my vibration. And I still use, for me, that's a tool. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not saying it would work for everybody. But I think that some of the bottom line is what you value, but hopefully it's that you value yourself and your how you can elevate yourself to a better place. So there's that shift in energy that you can go, like, to a higher energy.
Sure. I love that you did that on the hour, so it's sort of like you're really staying quite mindful. You don't let too much time go by, and you see, huh, what's going on now? I can imagine how helpful that might be.
Surprising how rapidly it can shift.
That's nice, right?
Well, it can shift two ways.
Oh, that isn't where you were going. I gotcha. Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a spiral. It can go up, or I guess it can kind of stay the same, but that's not usually the case.
Right.
So hopefully it's going up, but I mean, there are times that I discovered that it was like I was descending as well. So, it was like to get it to go up or at least maintain some kind of stability for myself.
Yeah. It strikes me with what you're saying, Doreen, is that by noticing that you are speaking to yourself in a way that you wouldn't, speaking inside you in a way that you wouldn't speak to somebody else, that even if you couldn't change that conversation exactly right away, just to even, you mentioned compassion, which made me think, oh, well, then you could say, oh, look, here's Doreen. She's talking kind of mean to herself right now. You know, this is you speaking about you. And, you know, she's doing the best she can right now. And, wow, I really feel for her that she feels like she has to talk that mean to herself. That I don't know if that's what you did at all, but that's what came into my head when you said compassion.
Well, at some points, because, you know, I'm telling you this process. I mean, I tend to ramble, but I'm telling you this process in a couple minutes. But when I actually engaged in this process, it took much longer.
Sure.
To become to that aware, first was just like the kind of developing the strategy for myself. It's like, you know, well, what's, I understand what people are saying to me, but what they're saying doesn't make sense. So what's going to make sense for me? And then thinking what's that made sense to me and then just doing it and then coming to some kind of awareness. And then it's like, okay, the process is, so then what do I do? It actually took several months to evolve. And like I said, there are times in my life that I still do that. I still will have a day and it's like, okay, I think today is a day that I really need to be mindful and do this exercise for a few hours. So it's easier to go back to it and use it as a tool. But, and I think that's one of the biggest things that I learned out of that whole thing was that compassion for myself as well as others, because I seem to extend it more easily to other people than I do to myself. And it's like, what is wrong with this picture?
I do the same thing, extend it more easily to others than to myself. Janet, how about you?
Oh, completely.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, we aren't 1,000 people asked, but we are 100%. All three humans here do that thing where we're harder on ourselves than others. And maybe that's just part of being human, and also with awareness, like you're talking about, Doreen, we can shift it. So, yeah, there's definitely something not quite right with that picture. When we are the only one who is with ourselves 100% of the time, and yet we're being meanest to ourselves. So we can shift it with awareness. So thank you, Doreen, for really shining a light on that.
Thank you for listening.
Of course.
Yeah, I like listening to that. Sometimes I think I'm a little depressed and I don't really even realize it. And I was like, oh, maybe I was just kind of depressed today, and that's why everything was ticking me off.
There you go. And, you know, it's interesting. I think I've kind of shied away from the word and the idea of depression. I think it's because there's clinical depression and there's garden variety depression, whatever that is. And it seems kind of heavy. So I think I've kind of gravitated the last few years to low mood, high mood. And, you know, of course, there's super low and super high, and there's a continuum, but somehow that doesn't seem as heavy to me. And also maybe it kind of tricks me into, oh, I can get out of it more quickly. It sounds like a depression is going to last a long time, whereas a mood could shift in a moment and often does. Just like that's what I learned this morning when I just reread my own worksheet. All of that self-criticism and the low mood that went with it just shifted. And I didn't immediately go to super high nirvana mood. I just kind of got neutral. It's like I quit beating myself up. That felt really good. You know, when you notice you're banging your head on the wall and you stop, it feels really good. So I don't know if that's sort of a universal thing around depression, if depression feels heavy to most people. And I know for some people, word differences, like the difference between depression and low mood, doesn't mean much, and to other people, it's huge. Either of you guys notice something specific for you?
I think it is the meaning that we give to words, because I think, like, depression is overused. Like, some people... I mean, this is an exaggeration, but, I mean, some people can get depressed if they cut their finger, kind of thing. Or they're sad because it's raining. They can feel depressed. And then other people can feel depressed because one of their loved ones died. I mean, it seems like at some point it's in the same realm. And it's definitely a whole different kind of experience. You know, it's like I don't want to say that I get depressed because it's raining. Like, oh, it's gloomy, I feel a little sad, but, you know, it's like, okay, you know, there's something I can do. But on the other hand, you know, when my significant other died, it was like, wow, I feel depressed. This is this heaviness. How long is it going to last? Or how am I going to deal with my life or whatever? I mean, I feel that was a real kind of depression, but yet I was reluctant to label it that because to me, I guess saying that meant that I was going to be stuck.
Mm.
That was kind of the connotation that it had for me, and that even though life has changed and it's changed radically, had to keep flowing with whatever was coming and dealing with it in a whole different way. So for me, when I hear that word, it's really loaded because it can have all different kinds of meanings, and it's like, I don't want to give every situation the same gravity, kind of, or same seriousness.
Sure.
Even though I don't know how to have fun so much, Janet, I don't want to be serious all the time.
It's all on a continuum, right?
Something
it
like
is. I was going to say, I really liked how you described it as like low vibration and high vibration. You know, moving through the vibrations of it.
Yeah.
When you were talking earlier, and that really resonated with me. And yeah, I agree with the depression thing. It kind of has this huge stigma of being something you're going to get stuck in for a long time.
Yeah.
Because I went through that when I went through my divorce and stuff. I was really depressed, and I didn't even know I was really depressed until I kind of got out of it, and I was like, oh, that's what that was.
Wow.
And so now just, you know, when I've been just thinking today, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be there again. So just the thought that I might be heading that way in any way freaks me out. So I don't know. It's just a weird thing. And I know I'm probably not depressed. I'm just kind of in a low vibrational mood.
There you go. Yeah, because there's something about if you think you're going that way, then it makes it that much more likely. And if you're just like, well, you know, I'm in a low mood. This is a low vibration, and I can be in a different vibration 10 minutes from now. And if not 10 minutes from now, usually when I wake up in the morning, I feel better. And I'm sure that's true with depression too, that somebody could wake up in the morning and not feel depressed. But it does seem like when you talk about low and high, it recognizes there's a continuum, that there's super, super high, super, super low, little bit high. Whereas depression sounds, I think the reason we think we'll get stuck, it sounds like, oh, well, this is your new life. You're depressed. So maybe in addition to being mindful of the words, just being mindful that everything shifts. Several of my spiritual teachers use the analogy of clouds, that well, right now there's just clouds, and the sun is still there, but these thought clouds are covering the sun, but they'll pass, and, you know, they could pass extremely quickly. They could almost vaporize in a moment, or might be a couple days, but still, they're going to pass, and then it'll be sunny again. And I thought it was funny when I noticed that several of my teachers were using that, and I thought, no, it makes sense. It's a very good analogy to remind us that we don't have to be stuck with it, that right now we might not know anything to do to exactly shift it, but that's okay. It'll shift.
I like that. I like your description of the high and low vibration, because to me, vibration is something that you can really feel, it's tangible, and you know that experientially it's like I felt high vibration and low vibration, and it's a sensory thing, where I think, you know, the word depression is like, you know, it just feels like this blanket, this deadness, this blackness, that there's no change to it. And once again, I think it's the meaning that we give to words, but I also think, I mean, to me, that is so important in my life, of how I speak to others and increasingly awareness of how I speak to myself. So I really like that. I'm going to borrow it as long as you don't mind.
Oh my goodness, I insist.
Yeah.
Pass it on. The
definitely.
More that borrow it, the better.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we've probably covered depression and low mood, low vibration, high vibration. Anything else about this beloved worksheet that feels like you'd like us to look at before we close today?
I just like the perspective of it, that, you know, we've got to turn the perspective on us.
You like it now. You went all the way from annoyed to liking.
Yes.
That's an increase in vibration.
That's a huge increase in vibration.
I just, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh, yeah, I really need to think about, you know, turning the love on yourself instead of just giving it all away to everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. It also brings up something, Janet, when you say turn it on yourself, turn it on somebody else. I also wonder what it's like if we are being the love, because you strike me as that so much. You know, when you're really engaged with stuff that's fun and engaging for you, you naturally are the love, and then you get to experience it. The people around you get to experience it. It's not so much give or receive. Does that make any sense to you when I say that?
Makes total sense.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I guess I see that as other people. Everybody is love, and then I don't really see myself as it. So.
Oh my gosh.
I know it's true. I know it's true.
Right? You made me want to follow you around and do a little video and play it back for you. So you would be willing to acknowledge that without me following you around and videoing you.
Or maybe you have that awareness to such a degree that you don't even realize that that's who you are. It's like you just somehow unconsciously know that's who you are, and that's just how it manifests for you in your life.
I hope so.
I mean, I don't know, because I really don't know you, so I really shouldn't be making assumptions, but I just think
that's okay.
Some people, it's just who they are, and it's who they... It's what they radiate around them. So it's just a conjecture. Just saying, it's not like I mean to place judgment on
That's
what
okay.
you do or how you are.
That's
and
okay.
the truth
I can put the judgment on myself really easily, so it's all right.
But also, Doreen, what you're saying is everyone has that possibility, right? That each of us shows up as love. And Janet's love is going to be sparkly and fun. And your love is going to have your particular flavor, Doreen. My love is going to have my particular flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have that opportunity. And I think it's true that the more we're aware we have that opportunity, it's sort of like my friend saying to me, I see you as priestess, and I'm aware of that, but it's not how I think about myself. And I'm like, wow, just when he says that, my spine gets straighter. Oh, I am priestess. But then that whole teenager thing, it's like, oh, man, yeah, I'm really aware of her. And, you know, she's kind of annoying a lot of the time, and I'm not sure I want to be a 58-year-old woman. Oh, wait, I'm only 57. Oof, okay.
Don't make yourself older.
By the time I'm 58, I would like
you
to be...
You won't be so annoying, right?
Right? Exactly. A little less teenager.
Well,
so,
you know, I think that we all have different parts of ourselves.
Of
and
course.
Hopefully, as far as I'm concerned, healing is when you can kind of bring all those parts together and become as one, but, you know, that doesn't happen so easily. But to recognize that we do have different parts of my ourselves. And I've noticed that different parts of myself show up with different people. You know, I try to be as authentic as I can with everybody I meet, but then I know that one of my friends and I end up having these really intense spiritual discussions. Well, if I started having one of those discussions with most of my friends, they would just wonder where I was coming from. So I think there are different parts of ourselves that relate to each person. So, you know, maybe your friend relates to that teenager, and I think kind of cool. Even if you are annoying, I mean, you're probably behaving appropriately at some point if you're a teenager. I mean, that's being presumptuous, but I think when I was a teenager, I was probably quite annoying, you know.
As most are. What did you say, Janet?
I personally like your teenager.
Oh, thank you very much. And yeah, he didn't really say he didn't exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because there's a lot of aspects of teenager for sure. And to your point, Doreen, I think we have more than two parts. You know, I'm not just either priestess or teenager. And being aware of having these different aspects and still tending ourselves as the beloved, even the teenager is beloved, right?
Exactly.
Goodness knows, all of our inner teenagers probably need more acknowledgement and more love. So, wow. All right. Well, we need to wrap up for tonight. And before I do the closing, I just want to remind you that we'll be off for the next 2 weeks for Christmas and New Year's, and then we will reconvene on January 9th, and we'll be doing a module around self-love, which I also find fascinating because I write these as we go along, and I'll be very curious to learn, along with you guys, what the difference is between self-love and self-care. Maybe it's a deepening of all this. Don't even know yet. And I'm very excited about it because I actually did not even use the word love a lot for a long time because I didn't know how to know whether I was loving or not. I knew whether I was kind or not. I knew whether I was compassionate or not, et cetera, et cetera. But love was kind of vague to me. So I will be really curious to see what comes through, and we will start that on January 9th. And I'm just going to close with just a piece of the same sliver of G that we opened with because it feels so appropriate for this. I am a sliver of G. Goodness, genius, gumption in action, grace in the moment, the glory of God incarnate. I am a sliver of G. So thank you guys, for participating so fully, which you get to do when it's such a teeny group. And we'll see you in 3 weeks.
All right. Okay. See you next year.
All right. Yeah, next year, right.
Yeah.
Bye for now.
Bye.